Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. The Word of God from both the Old Testament reading this morning and our Holy Gospel. First, from Numbers 21. Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. And then secondly, from our gospel, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. This is God's word. Of course, this morning we have one of the most well-known scripture passages of all time in our Holy Gospel, and that, of course, is John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, when something is really, really familiar to us, it's easy to kind of just let it pass through our ears and through our minds without taking the time to understand what is really being said. And there's a little word in John 3:16 that I think kind of gets twisted in our ears. That is the little word, so. God so loved the world. Now, here's how I think we normally think of that little word, so. When my kids were little, they had a bunch of these little tiny board books. And they had this little book called How Big Is Baby? Okay? So on the first page, mom or dad would say, how big is baby? And then you flip up the little flap on the board book, and the baby has its arms up in the air, and it says, so big. How smart is baby? Baby is so smart. How cute is baby? So cute. In other words, baby is really, really big. Baby's really, really smart. Baby's really, really cute. And I think that's kind of how we read John 3:16. How much does God love you? He loves you so much. He really, really, really loves you. Problem is, that's not what Jesus is saying in John 3:16. Because that little word so can be used in a different way. The key to John 3:16 is in the verses before it. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. You see, John 3:16 isn't meant to tell you that God really, really, really loves you, even if that's true that he does. Because that word so literally means in this way or like this. So I want you to listen to that verse again and see if it kind of changes what Jesus is saying. For God loved the world like this, that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. It's the difference between words and actions, isn't it? It's easy to say, I love you. It's an entirely different thing to back up words of love with actions of love. How many marriages have ended because of this very reality? The words said one thing, but the actions said something completely different. You see, dear friends in Christ, God does indeed really love you. He loves you deeply and more than you can begin to imagine. But he isn't content to just say that he loves you. He backs up his words with love in action. What is the action that God takes to show his love for you? That's the answer in our readings today. One that might sound a little bit bizarre to your ears. We have this story from the Old Testament reading that maybe you don't really remember from Sunday school. The children of Israel are wandering through the wilderness. They did what children of Israel do. They complained. The people became impatient on the way, it reads, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no food, no water. We loathe this worthless food. Here's these people who have been freed from slavery in Egypt, and they complain that they're no longer back there in slavery. They resent the deliverance that God had given them. They resent the heavenly manna that he was feeding them from heaven itself. And so God punished their sin by sending fiery serpents to attack them. We read, the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. So the people repent and they cry out to God and to Moses for deliverance. And what God commanded Moses to do sounds a little bit strange. The people are being bit by these fiery serpents. So God commands Moses to make a fiery serpent, to put it up on a pole so the people can see it. Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole, it reads, and if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. Now, that God would forgive the people and heal them isn't surprising. I mean, God is loving and merciful. That's what he does. But look at how he heals them. He commands Moses to make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. When the people were looking for healing, they were to look upon an image of the very thing that afflicted them in the first place. It's like being cured of cancer by looking at the image of a tumor. It's like being killed by a virus and being cured by looking at it under the microscope. By looking at the bronze serpent, they were saved from the fiery serpents. When Jesus was put on the cross, he became the object of God's wrath. In fact, as Scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians 5, he became sin. He was made sin who knew no sin. Because you see, God doesn't leave sin unpunished. The gospel does not say you're a sinner, but God loves you anyway. The gospel says you are a sinner and God pours out his judgment on Jesus Christ in your place. And that is how he loves you. In baptism, God freed us from slavery to sin. But just like those ungrateful, sniveling, whining Israelites, you and I have not received God's gifts with grateful hearts. Just like the Israelites, we, in the words of Jesus in our gospel, have loved the darkness rather than the light. He frees us from sin, but we continue to sin. He cares for you and me and gives us daily bread, and still we complain that he hasn't given us enough. We deserve God's punishment. And he will punish our sins. Every sin that you commit will be punished. When your thoughts and actions are filled with lust instead of purity and holiness, that sin will be punished. When you are greedy instead of generous, that sin of greed will be punished. When your words are those that tear down rather than build up your neighbor, that sin will be punished. The difference is, Jesus is the one who receives the punishment. He becomes the bronze serpent. He becomes the object of God's wrath. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Paul in 2 Corinthians 5. Jesus Christ became sin for your sin. When he was flogged by the Roman soldiers, that was your sin being flogged. When the crown of thorns was pushed into his scalp, it was your sin, your guilt being pierced by the thorns. When he carried his cross to Calvary, that was your sin climbing the hills. When his hands and feet were pierced by the nails, your sins were being nailed to that cross. When the cross was lifted up just like that bronze serpent with Jesus' body upon it, your sins were being lifted up in punishment. When the Son cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? God the Father turned away from his only Son so that your sin would be punished. That is how God the Father has loved you. He has loved you like this, in this way. He puts his Son in your place and makes him your bronze serpent. He makes him your sin so that you would know exactly where forgiveness and eternal life are found. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The Father lifts up his Son upon the cross so that you would be healed from your sin. Not only does God speak of his love for you, he shows you his love. His love for you is found on the cross. You don't need to doubt it. You don't need to question it. Look to Christ and his cross and live. The Son of Man must be lifted up that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. The very best way that you can look upon the one who is lifted up for you and receive the life that he has for you is right here at the altar. Here, the one who gave his body and blood upon the cross is lifted up for you in bread and wine. Here, you find life. Here, your bronze serpent sends you healing for the disease of your sin. And here, you see exactly how God has loved you. Here, you find the grace of God that Paul spoke about in our epistle. By grace, you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It's the gift of God, not a result of works that no one may boast. Grace, a free gift of God, given for you in the body and blood, lifted up for you on the cross. How does God love you? Like this. Take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. How does God love you? I forgive you all your sins. How does God love you? I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. How does God love you? Through the word that says Jesus Christ is given for you. Jesus Christ is lifted up for you. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, look to Jesus and live. Look to Jesus and find the life that he has promised for you. The life that lasts forever, even as Jesus lives and reigns forever. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.